Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. I would like for you to join me on Tuesday, June 20th at 7:30 p.m. as we deal with the topic creation versus evolution. Did God create the beginning of all things, or have they evolved? Why don't you join me as we talk about the Big Bang Theory, as we deal with atheism, as we talk about Noah's flood, and we will deal with so much more that your questions will be entertained also. So join us on Tuesday, June 20th at 7:30 p.m. for our Facebook Live event as we talk about evolution and creation. God bless you today.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will conclude his message titled God's Strongman Competition. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of God's Strongman Competition.
You don't need to be whining. You are a warrior, brother. You need to stand up and you need to stand strong. And you need to be able to fight for the things that are right in your home and with your family. You are the fighter. You are the warrior in your home. Men are to be lovers, right? God created us to say, you're my first, you're my last, you're my everything, and the answer to all my dreams. You're my sun, my moon, and my guiding star. You're some kind of wonderful. That's what you are. Men were created to be lovers. Men were created to woo women and bring them, bring out the best in them. But you know, you see so many men, they bring out the worst in women, right? And God has called men to be lovers. But what do men want to do? We look at our society today, and the young men want to be what? Players. That's their goal. Their goal is not to be player and, I mean, a lover. Nothing wrong with being a lover, as long as you do it in the right context, right? And to speak loving things to a woman from the heart. But what does a player do? A player tries to blow a woman's mind and make her think things that he wants her to think. So that what? So that he can take advantage of it. You know, and players, you know, they got four or five women. And generally, the four or five women each have a child because this guy's a player. So, you know, we need to work against our young men being players, because that's the mentality. Where does it stop? Where do the young men stop being players and learn how to respect and learn how to nurture and learn how to love a woman the way that God designed it to be? See, this is God's strong man competition. This is the strong man that God is looking for. Not looking for lovers. I mean, not looking for players. He's looking for lovers. The man is designed to be a healer. A healer. But we see that men are abusive. I remember when we first, over 25 years ago when we came to Bethany, I think I told this story before, that when we were living out, when I was pastoring out in the country, you know, my wife would buy our kids, you know, the no-name brand tennis shoes. So we moved here to the city, and all the kids were sporting name brands. So one Wednesday night, we had came for a program, and they started making fun of my kids because they had no name tennis shoes. And I remember my two sons, Daniel and Jonathan, you know, they were very upset that other kids had made fun of their tennis shoes. Now, you know, as the father, you know, what is my responsibility? My responsibility is to be what? A healer. And so now I have to go and tell them, look, they're going to say worse things about you when you grow up. They're talking about your tennis shoes now, you know, that they're going to say worse things about you later on. And I remember that night when we got home, I put on this song, and it said, "There's always somebody talking about me. Really, I don't mind. They try to block and stop my progress most of the time. The mean things you say, they don't make me feel bad, because I can't miss a friend that I never had. I got Jesus, and that's enough." And see, God has called the man in the home to be the healer. But what has man turned that into? He's an abuser. How many times do we hear about women being abused? How many times do we hear about children being abused? We have dropped the stone. We have dropped the stone that God has called us to carry. The man is to be the protector in the home. Just go back. Just go back to the diagrams that I showed. It was the man. God gave the man everything that he needed. And then he put the family around him. And when the man is not there, there goes that protector. And again, thank God for the women who have stood strong in the midst of absentee men. God's strong man competition. God's strong man has not been disqualified. God's strong man, if you go to the next one, does deadlifts for reps. Well, what is this? The winner of this contest, he tries to lift. This is called a deadlift, where you go down like this and just come up. And so he tries to lift that as many times as he can. He's given a certain amount of time, and in that amount of time, he has to lift it as many times as he can. And some guys lift a lot, and some guys don't lift as much. Well, what has God called us to do in the home? God's strong man lifts as many family members as he can. How does he do this? He lifts as many family members as he can. He does it through spiritual leadership. He does it through humble service. He does it through enthusiastic encouragement. He does it through a loving example. He lifts through tender affection. God's strong man. I remember that song back in the day by Jackie Wilson. "Your love keeps lifting me higher than I've ever been lifted before." That's the job of the man in the home, is to lift the people up around him. Lift them up through the spiritual leadership that God has called them, through leading in prayer and devotions and worship, lifting them up through humble service. Jesus Christ was God, yet and still he left the glories of heaven. He came down and washed the disciples' feet. Man, when was the last time you washed somebody's feet in your home? No, I'm not talking about getting out a basin and soap and water, but I'm just talking about you bow down in humble service to those around you. He lifts them up through enthusiastic encouragement, that he encourages individuals. You know, my kids or my grandkids, you know, and as busy as I am and as I was, if they let me know in enough time, I cleared my schedule to go and participate or be a part of whatever they were involved in. Why? Because that's enthusiastic encouragement. That's and see, men are not, we're not encouraging people. You know, I remember my oldest granddaughter. She stayed with us for a period of time. And I would always, when she did something good, I would always say, "Very good, Tay-Tay, very good." You know, just trying to encourage her. And so she did something one time, and I said, "I'm going to take you out and buy you some candy or something." I forget what it was. And so she was little at the time, and I didn't have a car seat in my car, so I took my wife's car. So we got in the car. I put her in the car seat, and she sat in the back. And my wife had her sunroof open, and the sun was beating down. And I was like, "Man, you know, I got to figure out how to close this sunroof." And so, you know, I was pushing it. It wouldn't go, and I was looking for buttons, and it wouldn't go. And then I realized that every morning that my wife took my granddaughter to daycare, and that she was in the car every day. And I turned around. This is about 5 minutes. I'm back to trying to figure it out. And so I said, "Hey, Tasia, I said that, do you know how grandma closes this sunroof? And she said, yeah, Pop, push that button right there. And I pushed the button and the sunroof closed. And she said, very good, Pop, very good.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
Through enthusiastic encouragement, through a loving example, that the husband is loving his wife, and that the people in the home see that. And it affects them, it moves them, it works in their life through tender affection. Man, you know, I remember my dad, how he served in the war, and how he worked in the steel mill. And every day, man, you know, he came home and he just provided, man. He just provided. Man, if you got your father, man, thank God. Thank God, man. Father lifted us up. He lifted us up. Wow. Think I'll color that man, Father. The pillar of Hercules. The winner is the athlete who holds the pillar in the correct position for the longest time. God's strong man holds the position in the home. If you'll just go to those next slides. When we look at our society, we see that men are not holding the position. In 2010, 40.8% of all births were to unmarried women. In 2010, there were over 1.5 million births to unmarried women. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, out of 12.2 million single-parent families in 2012, more than 80% were headed by single mothers. Today, one in three children, a total of 15 million, are being raised without a father. Of that group, nearly half live below the poverty level. The results of fatherlessness, because men have not held down the position. The United States is the world's leader in fatherless homes. The results of our actions, according to the Father's Manifesto, 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists motivated with displaced anger come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. The father has not held the position. 85% of youth in prison grew up in fatherless homes. 75% of all adolescent patients in drug treatment centers come from fatherless homes. My brothers and sisters, we have to pray for people. That's why I'm saying, I don't see how anybody can get married without having premarital counseling. I don't see how anybody, that's why, you know, people come here and they ask me to marry them next month, or I say, we can't do the counseling in 1 month, because people are not being equipped for marriage. They're not being prepared for marriage. And so the people that are getting married, because they're not equipped, another home without a father. When we think of the fact that we are not training our young men, yeah, the church has failed. Yeah, the church has failed. We are not training. I'm not saying everybody, so I'm not broad brushing. I'm just saying the church in general has failed to train young men, how to be fathers. You need to be teaching the young man how to be a father. You know, one of the things when my mother-in-law died, we went out to go for her ceremony. And the American Indians, her tribe anyways, they have a very unique thing that they do. That every night, the men go out and they guard the tomb for, I'm not sure the first week or I'm not sure how many nights it is, but they go out and guard the tomb for various reasons. And so one night, they let me go. And I went out and sat out with them, and they had a fire right beside her grave. And as I sat there, the men talked to the young boys, because they were there too, about what it meant to be an American Indian, what it meant to be a Pueblo Indian. And they communicated to them. And I was just thinking, I said, I know we do certain things in different communities, but I think that, and this is something that's been on my heart a long time ago, and I've just never brought it here, I've never pushed it, but I think that there should be a venue, a format, where the young men from Bethany can sit around with some of the older men and just talk about what it means to be a man, to talk about what it means to father a child, that you don't need to father a child until the time is right. Because we just haven't held the position. And that's why we see what we see today. Because people are not being trained for marriage, and the young men are not trained how to be young men, what a man is supposed to do. As we continue to look on the next slide, children from fatherless homes are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. Now, this is not Pastor Glaze. These are the statistics. These are the statistics. 32 times more likely to run away. 20 times more likely to have behavioral disorders. 14 times more likely to commit rape. 9 times more likely to drop out of school. 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substance. And 20 times more likely to end up in prison. Saints, we got to do something. You know, we got to pray for our men. We got to pray for our young men. We got to encourage them. And if they're doing things that they shouldn't be doing, we got to sit them down and talk to them. Because, Satan is having a field day. He's just, wherever he's sitting, he's just rubbing his hands together and smiling with delight at the way things are going. I mean, the family that I put up there earlier, our society is systematically eating away at that from every level that you can think of. From every level that you can think of. I was telling people in the Bible study on Wednesday, we accept transgenders now. If you say anything about it, then you're criticized, you're ridiculed, you're called phobic. And I heard somebody say, "What's next? Where do we go next?" And I heard a guy sitting right there when they were asking that question. He said, "People are going to want to marry their animals next." If you look in the paper or go online, there's a lady in Ohio that is petitioning her city government to marry her dog. Where does it stop? Where does it stop? I mean, we're on a downward spiral. And my brothers and sisters, let us. I mean, and this is Father's Day, so I'm speaking to the men. We can dress the ladies and the young ladies. I'm speaking. We got to save our young boys. We got to save them. And we got to help them to walk on this right road, on this right path. So that at least, this whole situation might not turn around, but we can do what we can to turn our little world around. Just our little corner of the world, whatever we have to do to turn it around. The Bible says that in order for men to hold the position, that they must be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That we need men that are coming to the house of God, that are getting themselves rooted and grounded in the Lord, and that are standing strong. Because as the men stand strong, we're going to see other places strengthen. And the word, he says, and having done all to stand, And that word stand comes from the Greek word histemi, and it's a military word, and it means hold a critical position while you're being attacked. Men, you got to hold the position. You can't get moved out the position. You know, I think about my dad. You know, my dad, he really didn't give a lot of spiritual input in my life, but I saw that man hold the position. I saw him provide for his family. I saw him love his wife. I saw him love his children. I thank God that here was a man that stood the ground. And we need men that are going to stand the ground. Now, you probably can't read that, but let me just tell you what it says. There was an elephant park, and you might have heard this before, in Africa, where the adult elephants were taken away. Some of them were killed off. You know, they got this big thing with the tusks now, you know, the ivory. And so they're killing, I mean, they're finding dead elephants everywhere with the tusks just ripped out of their snout. And so what was happening is that, you know, there was these young elephants that were in the park, and they were just going wild. I mean, they were just running things over. They were raping other animals, and it was just crazy that these young male elephants were just out of control. So the park officials brought in some adult male elephants. And when they brought the adult male elephants in, those young elephants snapped right back into shape. They snapped right back into shape. What's that telling us? Male presence. Male presence is powerful in the life of a male. And so, again, God's strong man holds the position. God's strong man holds the position. And then let me say this, the last thing, and I'll wrap this up real quick, is the lorry pull. And the winner is the athlete who completes the course in the fastest time. So what is God's strong man? God's strong man is the one who completes his assignment in the home. He's the one who completes his assignment in the home. He doesn't abdicate his assignment. He completes his assignment. That he does what he has to do to complete his assignment. Let me just close by reading 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Well, what was your course, Paul? Paul's course was to spread the gospel throughout the world. That might not be your course. But what is every father's course? What is every father's course? It is to complete the assignment. Paul said, I have finished the assignment. So as a father, you should be able to say that I have finished the assignment that I've been given. I've completed the course of fatherhood. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. God has called us to complete the assignment. And when we complete the assignment, there's going to be fatigue, right? Because you're going to get tired in the competition. But you got to keep fighting the good fight. When you complete the assignment, you're going to finish the course. I have finished the course. And when you complete the assignment, you're going to receive a reward. There's a crown of righteousness laid up for me.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Sins of Prayerlessness. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, God's Strongman Competition, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Strongman Competition. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request God's Strongman Competition. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.